the last few weeks, all 50 states have organized protests to condemn our nation's propensity for police brutality and demanding change. For the first time in history, our entire nation is chanting in unison, Black Lives Matter, and asking for concrete policy changes, defunding the police, and envisioning what public safety could look like moving forward. I traveled to Denver to listen to the different messages and see what organizers are asking from their communities. Thousands of people are showing up and multiple groups are speaking out about the violence. On Saturday, June 6th, the Anti-Racist Club held the stage. While many organizing groups have different opinions about how to move forward, one thing is agreed upon. It's not just about George Floyd.
Somebody asked me, why am I out here? Why did I lay down on the road and get tear gas? Why did I put myself in harm's way, right? Knowing that I have a 2-year-old son at home. And you know what I told that person, and I hope they're watching right now? I stood here all week. I stood, got tear gas, all of that, because I had a Black son at home. That's why I marched. We need to protect the next generation that's coming up after us. We need to protect them, because I don't want my son to have to walk through this. I don't want my son to have to go outside and be afraid that he's gonna be in harm's way because he's a Black man. I refuse for him to live in fear in his own country that we built, because everybody's voices matter. We are being heard right now. Do y'all understand that? Those cops have been standing down, leaving us alone for the past couple of nights because they hear us. So guess what that means, y'all? We need to make some noise. I told a news reporter earlier this week that 2020, George Floyd will be the last Black life that gets taken by police brutality. And she asked me, she said, that's a strong statement you made. Are you sure about that? And I looked and said, yes, I am sure about that, because guess what? My generation, we about that. And if you mean that and you want that to be done with, y'all need to get out and vote. Y'all need to do something. Do something. Don't just keep marching. Don't just keep holding up sides. Get involved in your town. Get involved in your city. Find out who your officials are. Find out what they believe in. See what their background is. See who the people are that's in office, because they're the ones that are in control of what's going on. But guess what? We control who goes in there. It's time for a change, and you must understand that change starts with us. And that's why I stress out to y'all so much. Please don't fight with your brother and your sister because they have different viewpoints on what's going on. Please don't fight with them, because this is our fight together as a whole. It's time to execute this mission, y'all. All 50 states are protesting right now. So that means they're listening. They're listening. We gotta shake things up a little bit. They don't know what's coming. They think they're scared of us because we march in these streets, but wait till we go to that voting box. And it's so beautiful, because I just can't wait for our kids to get older and they go to school and they read in the history books about what we did. We're taking it home for them babies, y'all. You got babies, you better be out here. Now's the time. I'm up here for my 2-year-old Black son that's gonna have to live in this world when I'm dead and gone. I'm up here for him. If y'all don't get out and vote when it's time, what we're doing, y'all will be doing an injustice not only to yourself, but to your kids. If y'all don't get out and vote.
Amid these calls to action, a massive storm came through downtown Denver, but it didn't deter protesters from standing strong. Even when the police, over an emergency notification system, warned the crowds about lightning and dangerously high winds, the crowd did not move. Through the rain, we heard from this poet, who brought us together to remember what was important about this movement.
Because somewhere along the line, I bought into the idea that the thing that we share the most in common is our indignity, but it is not. Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Look to your left. Look to your right. That person could be your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin. For a man who died begging for his mother, begging for the knee off his neck. We all have the knee on our necks. We all have the knee on our necks. You're talking about looting. What do they do to us every 2 weeks to our paychecks? Who's still getting a paycheck?
And before the end of the demonstration, one woman spoke up about the history of racial injustice in America and the need for continued community support.
The killing of black and brown people is not a social media trend. This is a real life trend. A trend of violence and terror inflicted on black and brown people all the time, every day, even when no one is recording. Black bodies are falling in this forest of racism and injustice, and most often, no one is there to hear them fall. They still make sounds. When we have new hashtags, they still make sounds. Police reform is for George Floyd. Police reform is for all the names we don't know. Police reform is for all of the names we never want to have to know. This thing we're dealing with, that's not going to blow over. We have to blow this whole thing up. We have to change it. One of the first forms of policing in the American colonies was the slave patrol, used to catch runaway slaves, deter slave revolts, and punish enslaved people. Early official American police departments were under the control of local politicians. They were notoriously corrupt and brutal. They enforced public order by surveilling immigrants and free black people, and harassing labor organizers through public order, arrests, and strike breaking. Sound familiar? The Denver agency responsible for monitoring police has already received 150 complaints of police misconduct at protests just this past week. In Denver, Latinx people are killed at 2.5 times the rate of white people. 99% of all killings by police have not resulted in officers being charged. Are we surprised?
No.
From slave watch to strike breaking, George Floyd to tear gassing, are we surprised?
No!
This is how systemic racism works. It fortifies inequality and injustice through ideas and policies and historically corrupt and terrifying power structures like the police force.
In Aspen, a group of organizers called Roaring Fork Show Up has formed and continues to hold protests every weekend with different speakers and activities to help our community here on the Western Slope better understand racial injustice. Aspen has always been a place of privilege. In Denver, the police were using tear gas to deter protesters. In Aspen, police officers helped direct traffic so the protesters could remain safe. So a question that often comes up for community members is, what are we asking for? Why are we showing up here in Aspen when our police force isn't nearly as violent as it is in bigger cities that have more diversity? I sat down with Sehari Simmons over the phone to discuss why they are taking to the streets of Aspen.
So my name is Sehari Simmons, and I have co-founded Roaring Fork Show Up with Janelle Figgins. Janelle and I, both being African-American women in this community where there's not many of us, we already were having experiences that, while they were familiar, they weren't desirable. From that, we felt empowered to tell our story when white privilege and other individuals that have been used to silencing us were now starting to listen. And so it just organically happened from us genuinely talking about our story. It garnered attention that was unexpected, to be honest.
And what are your impressions of the turnout so far?
I think the turnout is amazing. It will be even larger because there was a disconnect on the information due to the very nature of the things we're fighting against. And so we were silenced on platforms that could have informed people faster.
Can you delve into that a little bit more? Why were you being silenced?
My story might be a little bit more aggressively steeped in examples of systematic oppression. But basically, when I would tell my story just as a human being, which just so happens to be a black woman, it was automatically considered radically political and that it should not be heard. it was evidence and it was proof that this is the very reason why my voice needs to be heard. You know, the fact that I'm just telling my personal account of my life is a political thing should say enough.
Can you give an example or details as to why your story seems so inflammatory to some in our community?
Well, because it challenges the white privilege lens that makes one comfortable. When you think about having benefits, you don't like to think about the idea that it comes at the expense of another person. Black people in America are great at overcoming obstacles and letdowns. And white privilege is practiced at easily getting to the next step. Now that white privilege knows that they have to work a little harder, they're not used to it.
Can you explain what white privilege is?
White privilege is you basically have a running start, but the issue with that is it's determined that it's the same race. White privilege gets to be 30 steps ahead, and then you tell everyone, no, it's the same race, now start. It's a privilege to have financial education. It's a privilege to pursue things that gain high equity. You know, it's a privilege for even ownership. Black Americans, they don't own in property. They don't really own in assets. It's just so much that doesn't happen because of being 10 steps behind trying to play what is supposedly the same game.
Why do you believe it's important for our community to continue to show up to these protests?
We are focusing on shifting mindset beliefs through education and through experience until you go out and interact with others who have different norms. You will just still be living in a bubble. And, you know, the wisest person knows that they know nothing. And so coming out to the protest, the learning and how ideas get challenged respectfully, learning how what you thought was everyday life is completely non-existent in a Black person's life. You know what I mean? Especially in this community, there's a large influence on the rest of the world because, you know, this town is seen as progressive. And so if you want to stay ahead of the times and keep promoting that like good sense of, you know, Roaring Fork Valley is one, then taking the initiative to learn in the areas that, you know, you guys aren't used to learning or being pushed is going to be essential.
Can you explain your reasoning behind the call to defund the police?
It's not anything about punishing police. It's about saying that if you can have all of this military equipment that costs so much money, there's room to minimize those things. And I just think that it promotes excess. It psychologically perpetuates more violent experiences than necessary. And de-escalation, I think, should be more at the forefront instead of tear gas of peaceful protesters or rubber bullets that really hurt just the same.
How long do you plan on hosting the protests in Aspen?
I'm not really having any expectations or setting any barriers. I'm just leaving this to be an open and organic movement that has turned into something that people have needed more than they knew. I'm allowing myself to be that vessel. I'm open to what that brings. My guess is that we intend to impactfully act until change occurs.
How do you believe Aspen is uniquely situated to support this movement?
It represents the epitome of white privilege. And I say that because when it comes to wealth, when it comes to equity and financial matters, we all know that parts of the Roaring Fork Valley is doing very well. If these type of individuals that live in the Roaring Fork Valley come out to say, hey, even we know that we have to make change. Not only is that impacting others, but it also nourishes the soul of the Black person who would have thought that these type of people would have never made that change.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the community, a sentiment or a request?
My request is that we push ourselves to change in more than one lane. If you are someone that works in education and you say, I know I'm going to impact education because that's your specialty, that's because it's easy for you, and that's great. But then also try to impact the arts. And I think you'll see that when you move into an area that you're not even used to being in, there will be more evidence of the ties in which systematic oppression has between all of the institutions.
Sehari and Janelle have been working tirelessly to keep this movement alive and active moving forward. And the students in the Valley are hearing their calls for action and showing up. Despite the fact that this is the beginning of their summer breaks, a moment when students can finally enjoy their time off of school and away from their computers, students are exercising their civic voices and showing up to protest. For many of them, there was no other option.
I showed up because I care, because this is an actual problem in the world, and so I felt like it was important. I couldn't not go.
What is really important about this cause to you?
It's important to me because it's been going on for a long, long time, and it needs to end as soon as possible. And, like, the fact that we've been going on this 100 years or more is just crazy.
Do you grow up in Aspen or in this valley?
Yeah, I've grown up here.
Before kind of this last week, what's the conversation been like around police brutality and racial profiling?
Well, I always researched it for my school projects and stuff, and so it's always been a topic in my head.
Is there anything that you want to share with the community?
Black Lives Matter.
Why did you show up today?
Because it's just for a good cause, for a modern issue, and it's really, people are just sick of it, you know? They just, after the George Floyd video, people just said, this has gone way too far, and people just got fed up and told the government what they wanted.
What is your vision? What is your dream for the future of this movement?
No race. No race discrimination or, like, separation. And just for people to see race as, like, you're a different color than me, but nothing else than that, same person. Like, my blood's red, your blood's red, no difference, really. And, yeah, just a brighter future and not as much hatred.
So there have been a lot of people calling for defunding the police, and some people calling for more reform. Which do you think is going to be more effective?
Well, it's kind of in the middle, because the way I see it, not all cops are bad. Like, you can't see one bad thing happen and then judge it on the entire movement. Like, there are bad cops, but they're not all bad. There are good cops too. So it depends on how you're spending your money. Like, if you're spending it on a good, beneficial way to, like, sustain the community in a good way. But if you're also using that money to give the police more weapons and more way to control the people in the way they don't want, then it's not going to work out. It really all just depends on how they give out the money to the people and how they fund different things to keep the peace in communities.
So what has the conversation been like with some of your classmates around this issue?
Well, when we were in school, we were talking about it. And everybody was just agreeing on how wrong it is. Like, there are no racist families that I know in my school. I don't know about the entire valley as a whole, but I don't have any friends that are racist or have any view on different race discriminations. But we all just view past history with the KKK and slavery and segregation, and it's disgusting, really. But yeah, because I did a project on the KKK, and reading about it was just horrible, but...
What was the biggest lesson from that project that you took away?
How much influence they had back in the day. In the 1920s, they led a parade of 50,000 members in Washington, D.C. But, yeah, back then, it was really big influence, but then they started to decline. And the presidents that have been racist in this country, like Woodrow Wilson and Andrew Jackson, et cetera, et cetera.
Is there anything that you'd like to share with our community or something that you'd like to see a change for all of us to make?
Take a moment and just realize that if you're white and you have a bad view on minorities, ask yourself, would you like to be discriminated, or would you like to be targeted by police and other people that are like white supremacists and everything? that go around trying to kill people that are just because of their skin color and don't know them at all. So just take a minute and look at yourself.
Just like small communities coming together to spread awareness, even though we're not in the big city or anything where a lot of this is happening.
Yeah, I think just because we're not seeing it first as much firsthand here in our super small community here, I think I want to spread awareness to people so everyone can get involved and really make a difference even in a place like this.
Do you all feel like you have an impact and a role to play in this fight?
Yes, but I also feel like there could be a way bigger impact because I feel like the government needs to listen to us more because I feel like protesting is good, but it needs to make bigger changes. I feel like people just need to listen more to everyone shouting and screaming and trying to make these rights different. And it's just so obvious that the majority of us are pushing for this, and I just feel like it just needs to be shown more.
Yeah. So what is your hope for the future of this movement?
That we finally make it so everyone is equal, because it's about time that that happens for everyone.
Pretty much the same thing. I don't think it's fair. I think everyone should have the same opportunities.
I'm here today because I've been educating myself more lately as I've seen what's on social media and everything. So I'm personally here because I think these protests, they lead to something more. I think it opened my eyes that racism is not just like an individual to individual problem. Realistically, it's like it's an entire institution. It's social, it's economic, it's political, meant to suppress people who aren't of Caucasian descent. And so as I started looking more into it, I realized how important it is, even in this valley. I think we can still have an impact just because, I mean, it was in the news the other day that all 50 states were protesting. So I think it's important that they see that it's not just like one police department and one city on its own, that the entire nation and that hopefully the majority of the citizens are starting to really put pressure on our local lawmakers and national lawmakers saying like, you need to restrict the police. We need to start restricting this violence. So I think even just seeing that it is here in Aspen and that it is so widespread kind of puts pressure on those people in power, I think. I think what I found interesting was in regards to the rioting and the looting and stuff, I saw one thing that actually said that like part of the reason why there's been so much pressure put on big corporations, they don't really seem to care about people and individuals, but if they see that something like this is hurting their profit margins, it's affecting the people who are buying their stuff, maybe they will start to feel a little more pressure. For the future of this movement, I hope that there can be police reform. I hope this is not just a trend. I hope it really is something where lawmakers and politicians, people start to either defund or better regulate who is in a position to watch over the others. Because the police, no one should have to police the police. They should be doing so. I hope to see a decrease in police brutality by actual legal and economic movements and changes to that task force.
I'm here today because there's just a lot of injustice in our nation today and it needs to be changed. Women are treated unfairly, LGBT people aren't treated fairly, Black people especially aren't treated fairly in our nation and are paid a lot less than their white counterparts.
I'm here because I want to participate in all the things that are happening in the world right now. I see like all these protests on social media and all these posts, but I feel kind of guilty just sitting in my house in this little white bubble that we live in, and I feel like it's like my obligation to be here and help this movement that's going on today. I hope that this movement becomes big enough and reaches enough people that like, we can actually see changes on like the federal level with different laws and see leadership from the police force and the government, and it's not just George Floyd, it's everyone before him, and hopefully it will. There won't be anybody after him.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the community?
We need to have the conversation. We need to sit down with our families at our dinner tables, talk with friends, and just like talk to each other, because that's the best way to like express opinions and get other ideas. And especially here where we're very secluded from what's happening around the world and there isn't a ton of diversity, we need to somehow connect to these larger issues and be a part of them.
I'm here today because I have seen, the same as Eleanor, I've seen all the protests happening around the world. I wanted to come and contribute to this small town and be a part of this movement. My hope for the future of the movement is to actually go by the 13th Amendment and actually treat everybody as equals, because there are a lot of people in the world that treat others with disrespect based on the color of their skin. And I think this movement, especially starting with George Floyd's passing, has created a movement that people are more aware of the situation because everything's getting filmed and our lives revolve around social media now.
I know about the racism that's going on. Me and my brother have actually experienced some, and I think it's unfair that people have to fight for their rights when it should have been given to them. Any person who comes up to us, they assume that we can only speak Spanish rather than English as well.
I'm here because I'm Native American and I'm Black. It hurts me that we have to protest and we have to fight for, you know, our rights as like humans and people and stuff like that. So
I hope that people will look at other people of color and just think, oh, that's a regular person, rather than they might be a wrongdoer, even though they're just trying to walk out into the street.
From the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, I'm your host, Hallie Zander. The music for this production was performed by the Brothers Brass Band. If you would like to follow Roaring Fork Show Up, you can sign up for emails at roaringforkshowup@gmail.com or visit their website at roaringforkshowup.org.
This isn't a black versus white issue. This is the people versus the system. The system that oppresses LGBTQ people, women, and people of color, and so many more.
Boom, boom, hurt, hug, yeah. I said, they don't care what mama said. They gonna boom, boom, clap, clap anyway. Mama don't want no drummers playing around here. Yeah.